Offerman's character Ron Swanson on Parks and Recreation is perhaps the most relatable of the bunch. Well, at least to a few of us in this studio.
Don't be such a baby. I cooked you some bacon for a trail snack.
I ate it already.
What?
I could smell it in your purse before I even parked my car. And now it's gone, and I hate everything.
We've also loved Nick in Fargo, the Lego movies, and of course his appearances on Will and Grace with his wife, Megan Mullally.
I would like to spend time with you.
So not my type.
He's here for a national stand-up tour described as an evening of deliberative talking and light dance. Would you please all rise for Nick Offerman?
Wow. Nick,
hello, Nick.
Welcome.
Thank you.
A bit of excitement here at the studio, may I say, at the radio station.
They're very pretty, they're pretty jaded bunch here generally. They see if stars coming out.
You've got to be a
out.
Big star to get them off their chairs and in front of their computer screens. And
you've caused a bit of a scene.
So. Wow. I would recommend they read more books.
That's it. Aim higher. Come on.
They're a generation that I don't think that's come into it, reading books. Do you read books still?
I do. I love to read books, and I'm going to fix all of that with this touring show.
Yeah.
But by the time I get through, everything's going to be okay.
Really?
I would love you to do a talking book. How good would that be if you were in a
Could
car
be very
driving
long.
Around? That would.
I do. I have a bunch of books available on audiobook.
Well, there we go. I will
and
get them.
I sound this excited.
All right.
Rife with adventure.
One of the more recent books that you've written, well, was with your wife. Well, I presume both of you wrote it unless I've been completely hoodwinked. But it's about being in love and how to keep the spark in a marriage, 18 years of marriage to your beautiful wife, Megan Mullally.
That's right. I withstood it. I was reluctant for a long time. She kept saying, let's do a book together.
I can imagine you'd be reluctant to do something
and
like that.
I said, well, what is the book? And she said, it's a book about our love story. And finally, this is marriage tip number one. The third time she asks, you say, okay, honey, let's do a book about our love story.
This is a good tip. Mick is single, gentleman.
Is it a how-to or is it what?
There's some how-to. Yeah, there's a whole chapter on lubrication.
wow.
You know, in many instances, the body creates its own lubrication.
Facts you may not be aware
well,
of.
Well, just how do you keep the spark alive? Is there something? Yeah. Is there a trick to it? Don't tell me it's a lot of hard work. I'm not. I don't want to hear.
He's
that.
Not up for that.
I mean, any relationship involves work. It's not necessarily hard work, but even if you have a roommate, you know there are compromises that have to be made.
Right.
But for us, it began with our sense of humor. We met doing a play, and we thought each other was wickedly funny, and we became confederates. And that's where we dwell, you know. We go through our lives, we work and we play, and we laugh and we love.
And you're good friends. I mean, that's how you like each other. And you're one of those, I say, annoying couples who walk around, do you walk hand in hand?
We do hold hands,
Wow. See, that's aspirational for me.
Because Jane's not happy at home. Jane's struggling. Hit the wall. They've got five kids. And it's just,
it's a struggle. What can I say?
You know what? Start playing jokes on each other.
That's what we'll do. That's what we'll try. I want to quickly move now and go on to Parks and Recreation and your friend, Amy Poehler. When you work with people you know and like, that's an amazing combination, isn't it?
It really is, especially if the work is good, like on Parks and Recreation. If you get drafted to a successful sports team, if you happen to have a couple of your mates, so much the better. Because when you win, you actually feel like it's your people, you know. Yeah. Sharing the victory. And so working with Amy on that, I met her in the early 90s. And so I've always felt kind of like a sibling, an annoying big
annoying
brother. Her. Yeah.
But this is true. We talk to a lot of well-known comics who are acting as well, who do radio. And Mick and I have known each other for probably nearly 30 years.
Wow. Feels a bit longer.
Since you were 8 or 9?
Yeah, thank you.
Correct answer.
Correct.
Oh, this guy's good.
But you can't just...
Chapter 7.
Noted. You can't just create magic with that. You know, you just can't put two people in a room or you hope that it happens on
manufacture chemistry.
Yeah. Mm.
You need to know it.
No,
it's true. How did you guys all meet? Was it through these comedy troupes and Second Cities or just performing live together? How do you all kind of He said you met your wife in the
doing
same way.
Theater. How do
you
Well, I mean, it is a greater community of showbiz people, you know, show folk. But when I met Amy in Chicago, there's, you know, a sort of well-known comedy factory where a lot of people then graduate to Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And they go on to careers in comedy. Your Will Ferrells, yep. Tina Fey.
Yep.
But then there's also a great tradition of straight theater. The most well-known theater there is called Steppenwolf. So I was a straight theater guy. I was a Shakespeare, Sam Shepard, just
wow.
doing plays. Yeah. And so I met Amy at a house party. My friend lived with her
friend. Well, this sounds good.
And they had a very tall bong at their house. And we were all 23 years old.
Yeah.
And so we met, and actually we never saw each other's work. I knew she'd made up stuff in a bar, and I knew that I performed works of literature on a stage. And so only years later do you come to realize you're all sort of heading to the same
yeah.
thing. Megan, on the other hand, she went to Northwestern University in Chicago. So she came through some of the same theater channels I did, and eventually that led us to each other.
Which is a beautiful story. Will you stay with us? We're going to play a song. We come back, and I am so interested in your other career, which is a woods craftsman, a boat builder, a man who is, well, let's just say...
He's making us all look ordinary.
Well, he is.
We have Nick Offerman in studio, by the way. All Rise Tour around Australia, livenation.com.au. But we're talking this Sunday in Adelaide at the Theberton Theatre. Perth at the Crown Theatre on next Wednesday.
Bang.
Then a couple of shows in Melbourne. One sold out already, but an added show for the 7th of June at the Palais Theatre, which is amazing in Melbourne.
You will love the Palais.
Canberra, West Point beautiful. Casino, Hobart, Sydney and Brisbane as well, livenation.com.au.
You're working too hard.
Well,
you can get any time off. Or do you get off the grid? What happens?
A hoofer's got to dance.
Now, do you say that ironically, or is it a euphemism for something? Or tell us about your when people go to see the show, what can they expect to see from you, Nick?
Well, you know, I call myself a humorist because I don't think I'm as funny as a comedian. And I also
we might object to that.
Well, that's your prerogative. My pace and timbre often can fool people into thinking
sure.
I'm being humorous
okay.
when I'm just speaking slowly. So okay. I'm a bit of an illusionist as well.
I've got you.
I do songs on the guitar, and that's my favorite thing to do. They're really a lot of fun.
Your instrument of choice?
Yeah.
You'd be a mouth organ guy. You kind of got that
It
feel.
Might throw that in. You never know.
You know, I aspire to the harmonica.
Mick's got a cowbell there. He's got on the cowbell.
You always need more of that.
That's right. It's always underdone. Yeah.
But I do songs that, you know, I'm just finishing a song that's an advertisement for a fragrance called Manchester. And it's... It's a tongue-in-cheek, the commercial. It's a spray that you can spray on your children when they come out as gay to make them straight again.
So it's completely PC.
As an admonishment to yeah. people that are that dumb.
Well, that should sell well in some parts of America.
It should, yeah. That's the funny thing. I get that with Parks and Rec as well. Some people don't understand that it's funny.
Yeah. Okay.
They're like, finally, our spokesperson.
Dave wants to ask you, Chris. Dave's a big fan. Well, he's trying to hold it all together.
No, my family were into woodworking. So my father and grandfather, they were both carpenters, and my great-grandfather immigrated from England to here, and he brought all these tools with him as well, which I've kept, but I've not sort of got into the woodworking trade myself, but I've got all these amazing antique tools and I can't get rid of them, Nick.
You're an IKEA guy.
I'm more of an Allen key sort of operator.
Well, you'd be astonished how easy it is. The thing you got to learn how to do is just sharpen them.
Oh, yeah?
If you sharpen your tools, and you have to be careful because then they become very dangerous.
Yeah, sure.
But once you do that, wood suddenly becomes like carving soap.
Mm.
And so you can, when you think about, you know, woodworking, it can be daunting. If you think about building a boat, say.
Mm. Which you do. I mean, it is daunting to most people, and you have an amazing workshop that is not just a little man shed. It's a whole huge bloody workshop with heaps of wood and amazing tools.
Not too much spare time on your hands. What's going on?
I know. It's the problem. It's a champagne problem. all of these really fun things people want to pay me to do.
Well, sure, because you're a craftsman. Now, I just have a little clip I wanted to play just to let people know how serious you are and what an expert. I love people who are expert in things.
Sure.
And
you. Often.
This is a clip from a show you did with Amy Poehler, actually. It was like a crafts show. It was a...
Yeah, it's called Making It. It's a crafting competition
A crafting competition show. It's fair dinkum. It's a real deal. And this is... Amy has got a whole lot of blocks of wood. She's blindfolded you. And you have to sniff it.
That's right.
And say, identify the wood. Let's just have a listen.
Oh, boy. Eastern black walnut.
Whoa. Ding, 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 ding.
Eastern black walnut is my favorite of the cabinet woods. They're woods that are hard enough to build cabinetry and furniture out of. They can take a beating, but walnut has a beautiful brown color.
All right, Nick, here's your next wood, sir.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a cedar.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, Western Red Cedar, that's your go-to wood for a boat hull. It's incredibly lightweight, but it has a really high tensile strength, means it floats well, but it's hard to break when you push on it.
See what I mean? I love this stuff. Where did you learn your skills? Was it through your family?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a farming family, and my dad was a school teacher, my mom was a nurse, so it was like Little House on the Prairie in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah.
So everybody learned to sew and cook and garden and, you know, be a carpenter and a mechanic. And so, you know, different members of the family took to different aspects, and I really took to the carpentry. And then when I started theater school, I was terrible. I couldn't get cast, but people would hire me and give me small roles because then they would have me build the set. And I milked that horse for years.
And you also give gifts to, like, Stephen Colbert or to Tonight Show hosts.
I saw that.
You give coasters, made a coffee table even.
Yeah, it's a great way to become a kiss ass. So.
If you could only carve from one style of wood for the rest of your life, what would you do?
I don't know. I'd probably stick with... I have a batch of ukuleles I'm finishing right now, and...
God, either
that was bound to happen.
Yeah,
it's either end up with boats, grandfather clocks, or musical instruments. And I think I would stay in the instruments because the world of luthery, guitars, violins, you know, mandolins.
Stuff with a hole in it and strings.
Yeah, I could keep doing that until my hands give up.
We could talk to you for absolutely hours about also, not only, we haven't even touched on the films and your amazing voice, the timbre in your voice itself. We understand why you're such a in-demand performer, actor, comic.
You need to calm down a bit.
Yeah,
I think
take
it's
a rest,
fair to say. Take a chill pill.
It's coming.
It's coming. Thanks for swinging by. We really appreciate it.
We do.
It. And
thank you.
We're huge fans, and we look forward to seeing your shows. Give us the dates again.
You bet.
Please.
So this Sunday in Adelaide for our Adelaide listeners at the Theberton Theatre. Then next Wednesday, the Crown Theatre in Perth. A couple of shows in Melbourne next week. That's Friday and Saturday at the Palais. You got the Canberra Theatre Wednesday next Thursday, the 12th and 13th of June. Then the following week as well in Hobart, Sydney, and Brisbane. But live. nation.com.au has all the information on Nick Offerman's All Rise Tour.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming in, Nick.